Hi, this is Mary Traveland with Dixon Brothers Pool and Pond Supply in Mesquite. I've been Neil's announcer for many years. And now with Neil Sperry's Texas Gardening, it's my pleasure to welcome my friend, Neil Sperry.
Oh, Mary, thank you very, very much. She is my friend, long-standing, and I appreciate her as being my announcer all that time. And so thank you. And if you're a longtime listener, I appreciate you pretty much, too. You know that? We have a wonderful feature that we do every Sunday morning at this time. It is the Dallas Arboretum Report, in which Tucker Reed, the horticulture manager at the Dallas Arboretum, shares some usual and mostly unusual plants. And I have never heard of the thing he's bringing to us today. Tucker, good morning.
Good morning.
You are like an introduction service here to us to a lot of different plants. Tucker is a fabulous plant guy. And so when he tells me something is really, really good, I pay a lot of attention. This is a bulb. Tell us about it.
It is. This is a summer blooming bulb. And this is a bulb that, you know, sometimes you might know under a different name. It's sometimes you see it on heirloom lists. People who have this tend to keep this. It doesn't, once you have a space in your garden and you know you can grow it, you don't move it, you leave it, and it sticks around for a long time. It can have a pretty long life. What we're calling it today is Scedoxus, S-C-A-D-O-X-U-S, Scedoxus multiflorus. It used to be known as Hamanthus. That's where you see it on it. They changed the name several years ago. The plant geeks out in the world, whoever they are, decided that the leaf arrangement was wrong, and so they needed to change the genus of the plant. But this is a South African bulb. It's native most time South Africa, but anywhere sub-Saharan in the continent of Africa. It's a part shade to part sun bulb around here. I would never put it in full shade. It won't bloom for you. I would never put it in full sun. It'll burn up, and you'll never have it. Generally, it's going to be at the northern tier of its hardiness. Zone 8 almost guaranteed. Zone 7 if you have a really good heavy mulch on it. One of the things that helps it be even hardier is if you can find a space in your garden that you can keep it dry during the winter. It doesn't like to be dry all the time. When it's growing, it wants to have average normal watering. But when it's during the winter, it needs to be a little bit dry. So it's kind of like if you have a garden of agaves, garden of yuccas, things like that that like those drier winters. Mm-hmm. That's where I would put this garden. Now, that's the downside of that is usually those have to be in full sun. So you're going to have to kind of play around and find a space in your garden. What's really cool about this plant, though, is the flower, which is the size of a softball, but it's made up of a whole bunch of little bitty red flowers. But it looks like a big old red softball floating in your garden. And that's what's really cool about this plant.
All right. It's called Blood Lily, and pronounce the genus species again.
Scedoxus multiflorus.
All right, and you may find it listed in the catalogs as Hamanthus, and I do remember that name very well. It's from South Africa, southern hemisphere, but it blooms in the summertime, so it adjusted to that change.
It does. The problem is a lot of people, I think, get impatient with this plant. They probably dig it up because ours doesn't emerge until mid-June.
Oh,
this
wow.
plant doesn't even show itself. So it sits there just waiting, and finally, all of a sudden, it just emerges, and within days of it breaking the soil, surface of the soil, it's going to have a big red ball of flowers sitting on top. It is crazy how fast it can do it, too.
And your note says that you have it behind the camp house at the top of the concert lawn.
Yeah.
When does it bloom?
Ours started in the beginning to mid-June, and we still have a few bulbs. I think some of it's probably we don't have them all planted exactly at the same depth.
Okay.
And so we have a little succession of them, and there's still a few that have flowers on them.
Okay, and you were warm enough this winter because of the proximity to downtown Dallas and also the lake that you are Zone 8, whereas a lot of us are not reliably in Zone 8. I'm sorry.
But I will tell you
that's my other crusade.
Yeah, my other thing is Brent Heath, who owns Brent and Becky's Bulbs, who's a huge, huge bulb supplier, mail order supplier. He has this garden in his Zone 7 Virginia garden.
Gotcha.
And it has been successfully hardy for many, many years.
Nobody any better at bulbs than Brent and Becky
right.
Heath. They're just the best.
Right.
Education. How do we get educated at the Dallas Arboretum?
Well, educated, you know, right now all the classes are kind of done for the summer. You know, we take the summer off and then we'll start back up in the fall. The schedule should be coming out pretty soon. I just keep checking the website and go under the education and adult programs tab.
And the same for concerts then would be check the website soon for fall concerts. What about summer at the Arboretum?
Summer at the Arboretum still goes through. We have one more Friday, family Friday Fun Fest, or I can't remember the exact name of it, but the
but
Friday
Fun
Family
But you can
thing.
Remember Skidoxis Multiflorus.
Right. So we have one more Friday of that, and then we have the rest of the summer goes through, and the fun thing about summer is that we really know that it's tough to come out in August, and so in August we go to the Dollar Days, as we've always done, that's really
fabulous.
A fun time to come out and see the garden if you want to put up with a little bit of extra heat.
That's fabulous. Folks, join the Dallas Arboretum when you're there, or join online and be ready to be there and just stroll right on in, smile, wave, show them your card, and you are in at no additional charge. Once you become a member for that next year, you're a member, and that's kind of special, and a lot of good bargains that come along with that. How do they find you, Tucker?
You can find us at 8525 Garland Road. We're on the southeast side of White Rock Lake. If you're coming from Point South, take the Grand Avenue exit. It'll turn into Garland Road, and you'll find us on the left. If you're coming from Points North, take the Garland Road exit and follow the green signs.
All right, that part's easy. And on the online, you would be found where?
At DallasArboretum.org.
And on the telephone, you would be found?
214-515-6500.
Hey, I appreciate you. This is really a fun report, and always welcome. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Tucker Reed, Horticulture Manager, Dallas Arboretum, sponsored today by Busy Bees Pest Control. Busy Bees Pest Control has served North Texas since 1967. They are just fabulous. They're the people who do any pest elimination that I need. They have grown from a small company with 3 employees to a full-service pest control company, including licensed technicians, certified applicators, and much, much more. If you've seen bed bugs or bees or wasps, ants, fleas, termites, or other unwanted pests in your home, contact Busy Bees right away. They also trap and remove other unwanted animals, such as raccoons, squirrels, birds, and rats and mice, of course. A small infestation can quickly become a large infestation that can cause you health problems or structural damage in your home or business, resulting in expensive repairs. That is Busy Bees, B-I-Z-Z-Y-B-E-E-S. They provide pest control services to both residential and commercial properties. They are truly a full-service pest elimination company. For more information, call the best. Call Busy Bees toll-free, serving all of North Texas, 1-855-BUSY-BEE, 1-855-B-I-Z-Z-Y-B-E-E, or visit them online at BusyBees, plural, BUSY-BEES.com. Busy Bees Pest Control, see how good a service can be. Between now and 10, if you'd like to order my new book, call 1-800-752-GROW. However, if you have a plant question, call me here at the radio station, 800-288-WBAP. Now back to the program. Thank you, sir. Let's go to Chuck in Rowlett. Chuck, this is Neil. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Neil. Hey, I picked up a couple of hot pepper plants at Covington's this year. One is a habanero, and the other is they called scorpion or Caribbean red. Mm-hmm. Can I winter those over?
In what manner? Are you talking about in pots, or are you talking about in the garden?
In the garden.
No, sir. They're not going to handle the cool weather, much less the cold weather. You will see them go downhill as it gets fairly cool, and once you have a frost, they're gone. They're kind of like tomatoes. They just do not handle freezing weather. Now, you say, well, I could cover them. Yeah, but the problem is we're going to get to 15 degrees, odds are, this winter, and when you have a cold of that magnitude, then you really run into a situation of having to provide a greenhouse of some sort or a heat source. I would suggest if they still have any transplants of they very likely would have habaneros, pot those up and grow them in pots, and you could bring those in and protect them and at least gain a probably 4 to 6 weeks additional production that way.
That's a good idea. I'll go back to Covington's.
All right. That's always a good idea.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. All right. Bye. We're going to go to Wichita Falls. Haven't had a Wichita Falls call in a little while, and so it's going to be nice to go to Steve, and we'll do that in just a second. Then Peggy and McKinney, and then we're ready for you after that. We just have 2 calls ahead of you. If you'd like to call, call right now, 800-288-WBAP. And if you call now, we'll get you on the air, no problem. If you wait until late this hour, maybe a problem. So call right now, 800-288-WBAP, 800-288-9227. My book, Neil Spray's Lone Star Gardening, is an accomplishment that I am really, really satisfied that we took on. A year ago, as I met with Carolyn Skye, editor and graphic designer Cindy Smith, the book that I had in my mind was about half of the book that we ended up doing. And the more I typed, the more I realized, let's go for it, let's do this right. And I wasn't going to compromise on it, but it was going to be more of a handbook, something you could easily stick in a purse and carry into a garden center. Well, you can carry this into a garden center very easily, but it's not something you'd stick in a purse and carry around. It's a kind of a heavy book, and it is really well done. In terms of the printing job, we went to the best printer we could find, Clear Vision in San Antonio. I looked at every one of the 44 press checks. I was ill for 2 days. I missed those, but otherwise, every one of those press checks. And folks, this book looks fabulous. I'm really proud of it. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening looks completely different from the my earlier books, my older books. The Complete Guide to Texas Gardening has been very successful. It was a wonderful book 23 years ago when we published it. But Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening just is multifold better in my measure. The charts are just so user-friendly. It's not all about charts. We have 25 multi-page charts in it, but the book is 344 pages long, so goodness gracious, there's a lot of text as well, and 840 of my photographs, so it is much better illustrated. The charts are much more user-friendly, and we also have 48 pages that constitute the information I used to give you on the 12 pages of my Texas gardening calendars. I don't do calendars anymore, but what I did was put 4 pages per month of when to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all of the plants in your landscape and garden. That's chapter two. Chapter one is basics, and then we have individual chapters for trees, shrubs, vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, and also turf grass, fruit, and vegetables. All of my posters that sell for $10 each, there are four of them. The best 100 landscape plants, they are brought into this in their entirety. And so there's $40 worth of posters. The book is only $28.95. I'll let you judge. Yes, it's a better deal. It's the best deal I've ever given. $32.95 regular price on sale for $28.95. Call before 11 today. My office is open until 11. You'll either get our daughter, our grandson Sam, or Sam's friend Austin. Those are the team working there. We're small business. This is self-published. My book is not in stores because I didn't want to go through distributors, and it's also not on Amazon. It's self-published. Either buy it from Neil Sperry .com anytime today, neilsperry.com, or call our office before 11 this morning. 1-800-752-GROW. 800-752-GROW. 1-800-752-4769.
Our soils are responsible for more foundation damage than any other single factor. Sooner or later, we all encounter little cracks in the walls and sticking doors. That's when we call Advanced Foundation Repair. Their ProLift repair system can repair almost any foundation, and the ProLift transferable lifetime warranty guarantees the repair owner to owner for the lifetime of the house. Advanced Foundation Repair, 214-333-0003, foundationrepairs.com.
All right, we're going to repair your foundation. Now we're going to repair you. Athletic injuries can happen on the court or at home. Athletic injuries aren't just for athletes. They happen to anyone, anywhere, anytime. And that's why the orthopedic specialists on the medical staff at Baylor Plano and Baylor McKinney treat all kinds of everyday injuries, rotator cuff, tendonitis, ACL injuries, you name it, they have specialists to help you with it. With extensive experience in joint replacements, sports medicine, foot and ankle, general orthopedic needs, they have you covered. The orthopedic specialist will design a treatment that fits you and follow-up care to help you stay pain-free. So if you have an injury, give yourself a sporting chance at full recovery. Talk to the specialists at Baylor Plano or Baylor McKinney. For a referral to an orthopedic surgeon on the medical staff at Baylor McKinney or Baylor Plano, call 1-800-4-BAYLOR, the number 4, 1-800-4-BAYLOR, or visit BaylorHealth.com. Now, our daughter's life was saved at Baylor Plano in April 2005. Yes, we are very loyal to Baylor Plano. My wife serves on the board of Baylor McKinney. Yes, we are very loyal to Baylor McKinney. These are wonderful hospitals. The Baylor healthcare system in general, wonderful hospitals. Baylor Plano, Baylor McKinney, 1-800-4-BAYLOR.
Severe storms in Texas pop up quickly with wind and hail that can damage your roof. Call Wortham Brothers Roofing at 972-562-5788. Schedule your free roof inspection or visit wbroofing.com. They've been in business more than 28 years. Wortham Brothers Roofing provides the highest quality workmanship, materials, and service. That's Wortham Brothers Roofing. 972-562-5788, wbroofing.com.
All right, and they are great, and we welcome them aboard today. First time they've advertised with us, and I am so proud to have Wortham Brothers Roofing as a sponsor. Also very proud to have a longtime advertiser, WhizQ Stone. Mike Wisnett and his son Derek, second and third generations in the business. They're at 4501 East Loop 820 South in Fort Worth. They've been there since 1983. The experts at WhizQ Stone have been leaders in the Metroplex, turning landscaping dreams into reality. They have been leaders in the nursery industry. They really are professional nurserymen, serving at state and local board levels and beloved in the nursery industry. That is my comment. They didn't even think about writing that. They wouldn't. I know them too well. But I'm telling you, I've never heard an unkind word about either of these guys, Mike Wisnett and his son Derek at WhizQ Stone. Now, their showroom is a 22-acre stone yard. That's my kind of showroom. Yeah, you want to go out there and drive through it and see all the beautiful boulders and rocks and flagstone and pavestone and all the beautiful things you can provide for your landscape. It just isn't a landscape until it has stone from WhizQ Stone. Many different water features and seating areas, they show you what you can do. They're just full of ideas, and they demonstrate those ideas so you can see them. Visit the experts at WhizQ Stone at the Display Gardens, 4501 East Loop 820 South in Fort Worth. For more information, go to whiz-q.com. That's W-H-I-Z, then a hyphen, Q. .com or call 817-429-0822. Open Monday through Saturday, and that's 817-429-0822. WhizQ Stone, whiz-q.com. On we move to Steve in Wichita Falls. Steve, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Oh, good deal. Thank you, sir.
I've got arborvitaeums, if I'm saying that's correctly.
Yes, sir.
Planted on the property. They may be 50, 60 years old. They're done in an L shape all the way across the back, about 6 foot apart, and then they come down the other side of the property. Now, the one on the very end died, and as we cut it down, the one next to it would die, and this has been happening for about 7 or 8 years, according to the previous homeowner. Then last year, the one on the other end of the L shape, property, it died. We cut it down, and the one next to it now is dying. And I had an arborist come out and look at it about 2 years ago, and he thought it was a bug infestation. But when we sawed them down, there was nothing in the trunks, the limbs, or anything that we could see. They just looked like they dried up.
What insect did he tell you? What insect did he identify?
None. He just said, I really can't figure it out. It might be bug infestation, and that was about
it. He didn't offer what type he thought it might be?
No.
All right. What I would expect it might be, and how old are these, did you say?
They're probably quite old. The property was built in the house was built in 1940. So these things are, some of them are about 18 inches in diameter.
Yeah, arborvitaes were very common at that time. They were commonly planted that way. And let me tell you, first of all, Steve, this is not the cause of your problem, but arborvitaes do have a life expectancy, and they will eventually die away. But that is absolutely not the case here because of the fact that it's happening at the two ends of this L. The pest that I see on arborvitaes that just wrecks them, obviously, and this again is not the answer, but bagworms will do that. But you would be very aware that there were bagworms there, and he would have as well. The pest that gets them so commonly in their adapted habitat, the pest that gets them is spider mites. Spider mites are almost microscopic. They will get on. If you have one currently undergoing this, correct?
Yeah, I've got one on each end.
What you need to do is take a sheet of white paper out in a bright area outside. You need to clip off one of the little flat pads of needles, the size of your hand or a little bit bigger, and it should be one that is turning colors, not completely brown. Bring it over to the white paper. Make sure the white paper is still on a tabletop outside or something. And thump it once or maybe twice, but probably just one good firm time. Just thump it down on that white paper. And then look very closely. If you haven't been to the ophthalmologist recently, you might take a magnifying glass out.
Right.
And
okay.
Look for almost microscopic specks to start moving around. If you see them, those are the spider mites. They're your culprit. And they will move down a row of plants. So that could very well be
one or the other.
Yeah, that could
are
well
they
be
black in color. The spider mites.
They
or
will be. They're probably going to be kind of a rusty red color, but they'll be so small it'll be hard to see them. You could put 20 of them on a pinhead. They're that tiny. You can see them on white paper. Yeah.
What would they spray with?
Well, spider mites. We used to have a really good control called Kelthane, and it has been off the market for about 8 or 10 years. Any general purpose insecticide will probably label mites, carry mites on its label. Malathion is about as good as anything, and it's not perfect. The Kelthane was much better, but we don't have it. So you have to go. Okay. These are not insects. They're eight-legged varmints, but they are controlled by insecticide. So I just look at the insecticides available to you at the garden center or at a hardware store and find one that is pretty mainstream and that lists spider mites on its label.
Okay, spray the foliage and probably the one next to it.
I would spray the entire row. I probably would, but
at least the entire row. Okay.
Yeah, or at least the three or four plants beyond. As soon as you see a plant starting to look a little bit unthrifty, and especially if it has kind of a grayish yellow coloration inside the plant, especially at the bottom of the plant, that's what spider mites will do, and then they flush upward in the plant, just kind of like like an explosion from inside the plant.
Okay. Now, they're trimmed way up, probably 15 feet before the first limb starts. So I'll have to get way up there to cut one off.
Yeah, I guess you will. Yeah, you need your pogo stick.
now there's pecan trees, huge pecan trees all around these now. That spraying's not going to affect them.
No, Malathion is labeled for use on pecans. We use it in August on pecans for hickory shuckworm and pecan weevils. It will make it one other thing that crossed my mind, and I do want to at least ask this. The ones that have died are not in more and more shade than the ones that are still living, correct?
No. They were in more sun, actually.
Okay,
that's
fine. Then I stand on my answer. I think it's probably spider mites.
Spider mites. We're going to get to work on it.
All right. Good luck with it. Tell me how you're coping with the no water.
We got 2 inches of rain last week, so we're coping now.
All right.
It's very difficult. I've been hauling water. Everybody's been hauling water for their trees, and I'm not worried about
the
grass.
Where do you find the water? Where are you able to find it?
Well, at a wastewater treatment plant in the local towns around, and they are cleaning that wastewater up from the sewage plant. It's just miraculous. They're chlorinating it. They're filtering it. And you can't tell the difference. It's
good.
And it's good for hauling it, containers and trucks. And
God bless you guys. When I heard that you would not be allowed to water in 2014, I thought, oh, my, I have lots of friends in Crystal Falls. Well, good luck. Hopefully it'll be behind us before long.
I think so.
Thanks for the call.
I appreciate it.
All right. Bye. Okay. Arborological Services, the leaders in the tree care industry. What can they do for your trees? Well, they can do just a whole lot of great things for your trees. For example, if you want to have them do complete tree maintenance, you have a really valuable tree that is your main source of shade, and you want to make sure that nothing ever happens to that tree, they can do everything from routine maintenance to putting in lightning arresters in it or cabling and bracing it so that it is extra strong. Whatever it is, let them advise you. Just say to them, here is the level that I'm willing to go to on this tree. I want this tree forevermore, whatever it takes, and they'll take it from there. Or if you just need some kind of heroic saving of a tree that is in distress because when you bought the property, somebody had done something odd in construction or whatever. You know what it is. If you even need damage assessment and appraisal and someone to give expert testimony, they have people who can do all of those. Their tree climbing crews have won the Texas State Tree Climbing Championship 22 out of the 32 years it's been held. They have 11 International Society of Arboriculture certified arborists, and two of their people have been named Arborists of the Year for the entire state of Texas. Best it gets, Arborological Services. They have a toll-free number, even though they are strictly in the Metroplex. 866-552-7267. 866-552-7267. On the web, it's arborological.com.
Don't miss late-breaking news and weather. Sign up for WBAP text and email alerts now at WBAP.com.
Very important message on behalf of the Scotts Miracle-Gro Company. Texas has been enduring a terrible drought. Perhaps you've heard about it. To help your plants and gardens stand up to the heat and drought, Scotts has a plan to keep your plants healthy and strong. First, there's preparation. It's important to start with Miracle-Gro Moisture Control Garden Soil to improve the native soil's ability to retain water and nutrients. Second, you want to fertilize. Remember that water alone is not enough. Use Miracle-Gro Liquifeed to give your plants the nutrients they need to withstand the drought. Third and finally, put down a layer of Scotts Naturescapes mulch to help retain precious moisture. Now, you'll find all of the Scotts products at your local Lowe's store. That's Scotts and Miracle-Gro, two great names that you need to know and you need to rely on. The Scotts Miracle-Gro Company. Start with Scotts Miracle-Gro Moisture Control, a garden soil. Go to Miracle-Gro Liquifeed to give your plants the nutrients they need, and then Scotts Naturescapes mulch. Scotts Miracle-Gro, we thank them for helping us get through a really rough summer. Time now to check in with the WBAP 24/7 newsroom and my second chance to introduce Sam Putney. Sam?
Oh, thank you very much. It is 9:32 from the WBAP 24/7 news desk. I'm Sam Putney, and every man's actor has died overnight. We have your details coming up after your traffic and weather on the ones. ClassicChevrolet.com right now, traffic watch. One accident to report, eastbound 635 at Park Central Drive. Now, the WBAP 24/7 forecast. Sunny today with a high of 92, low tonight 74. Mostly sunny tomorrow with a high of 97, low of 76. Tuesday is going to be sunny and hot with a high of 98. Right now, 72 degrees. A separatist leader in Ukraine says rebels have recovered the black boxes from Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 and will hand them over to the International Civil Aviation Organization. The rebel leader also says bodies recovered from the crash site in eastern Ukraine are being kept in a refrigerated train car at stations in a rebel-held town 9 miles away until an international aviation delegation arrives. Some 30,000 independent beauty consultants for Mary Kay are in downtown Dallas for the next 2 weeks for the Dallas-based company's annual convention. The first full week of seminar gets underway tomorrow at the Kay Bailey Hutchison Convention Center. This year's event is expected to pump over $32 million in the Dallas economy. Sarah Friedman is with Mary Kay.
It is a lot of money. In fact, it's actually the eighth largest in terms of economic impact this year and seventh largest in terms of hotel room nights.
And it runs through August 2nd. And James Garner, who played Maverick in the 50s and the Rockford Files in the 70s, has died in Los Angeles of natural causes. He was 86 years old. We'll have more coming up at 10. Again, the high today is going to be 92. Right now, 72 degrees. From the WBAP 24/7 News Desk, I'm Sam Putney. Now, the Neil Sperry's Texas Gardening continues on WBAP.
Hi, I'm Lynn Sperry, a member of the McKinney ISD Board of Trustees. Substance abuse can hit any family. It's a disease that knows no boundaries. Serenity High in McKinney offers hope. It offers a chance at completing high school in a sober environment. We think it's the only public recovery high school in America. It's a small and nurturing school. It's self-paced and each program is tailored to the specific student. Serenity High in McKinney is for students who have completed drug and alcohol treatment and who have been advised not to go back to their old schools. Serenity High in McKinney is a part of the McKinney School District, but it's open to students from all partnering districts. For more information, go to serenityhigh.org or call Principal Julie at 469-302-7830. That's Serenity High in McKinney.
One day at a time, serenity.
All right, and as I mentioned last hour, we think, as my wife just said, we think it's the only recovery high school of its kind in the nation, public recovery high school, and it is a safe place for kids who have come back from drug and alcohol rehab and have been advised by their counselors not to go back to their home schools. This particular identification often happens at the end of the summertime as kids go back to school, and they realize something's not right, and so just keep in mind Serenity High in McKinney. Wonderful school. Before you trim your trees or start construction that might bring you or your tools within 10 feet of power lines, you need to call Encore at 888-313-6862. The Encore specialist can help you determine what will need to be done in order to complete your project safely. For example, don't work on tree limbs that are in contact with power lines. You might say that is logical, but there's just not a lot of logic left over in this world, and there are people who just don't pay attention. Tree limbs in contact with high-voltage power lines can act as conductors. You could be seriously injured or even killed if contact is made. If a tree is making contact with a power line and causing sparking or fire, leave that area immediately and call 911. Before you dig in your yard for shrubs, trees, or fence posts, please make sure you know where underground electric lines are located. Before you dig, always call 811 at least 2 business days before you start digging, and you can have underground lines located and marked at no charge. For more information, go to Encore.com, O-N-C-O-R.com. And I have one other suggestion to you, and that is that if you're thinking about fall landscape improvements and you're going to be planting new trees, remember, know before you grow. Know how tall and how wide that tree will grow. Don't have any tree that's going to grow up into power lines. So, yeah, for large shade trees, you need to be 50 feet or farther away from the power lines. Just know before you grow. Again, Encore, O-N-C-O-R.com. Neil Sperry's eGardens, my free electronic newsletter, goes to more than 40,000 subscribers each month. Sign up at neilsperry.com and check out the very special offer on my new book while you're there. That's neilsperry.com. Now back to the program. Let's go to Peggy and McKinney. Next call up. Peggy, thanks for waiting. How can I help you?
I am going to very soon be building on a very small lot, and I'm going to only have about 5 feet between that 6-foot cedar fence and a house, and on the other side, about 5 feet, cedar fence, a carport garage area. I'm wanting a vine to go up this fence or something to look at. So, of course, it's going to be shady, and it's going to be narrow.
Oh, narrow. I understand. I couldn't understand the word, and then I suddenly realized she's talking narrow. She's talking about 5 feet. That's narrow.
That's pretty narrow.
Yeah, it sure is. I would do two or three things. One of them is the best vine for the shade that is also refined in its growth is Carolina jessamine. Okay. It will handle the shade. It will handle that amount of space. It'll be a lovely vine for you. So okay. That's what I would use there. Now, just cherry picking out of the blue how to do a landscape plan without seeing the whole layout of every other part of the yard is a difficult thing at best. Remember that you don't have to have living plants to have an attractive garden design. You could break up the starkness of the wall with the Carolina jessamine, but then you could have maybe wall pots that you could secure out away from the wood so that you didn't cause the wood to deteriorate, but maybe you have some small hanging baskets or something like that that give you a little bit of relief. You could put I'm trying to come up with an answer that I like, and so you're hearing me filter out some of my bad ideas before they make the air.
No, I'm liking this.
Yeah. You could actually have a trellis and let something come up from below and not ever have it on the fence. I don't know I like that idea, though, because I don't have any better suggestion for a vine for that in the shade. The shade is the difficult part there.
Mm-hmm.
You could use tropical vines and have some nice looks during the warm months and then either replant the following spring or I'm thinking of subtropical star jasmine would be very pretty. I have it on a trellis. I put it in my greenhouse in the winter. If you don't have a greenhouse, then that's not as appealing to you. But just remember that you could use small plants. You can use plants on plant stands. You can do different things than just having to have a vine draped over the fence.
Okay. I did want to ask you real quick.
Sure.
What do you think, since, you know, I'll be sharing this fence with the neighbor, should I put, like, for lack of a better word, a cattle panel between the wood and plant the Carolina jasmine up the cattle panel rather than the fence?
Well, and this is a standard Western red cedar fence?
Correct.
Okay, so it has the boards are 2.5 or 3 inches wide. Carolina jasmine will snake its way through those. It has very small stems, and it'll get through the fence, and it can support itself on the fence, and there doesn't trap a lot of moisture. I don't think it adds a lot of problem. However, if you really wanted to do it nicely in a way that would be very neighbor friendly, you could use a cattle panel, or you could use something a little more decorative, or have something welded for you.
You don't think a cattle panel is decorative?
Yeah, that would go up about, I like it, that would go up about, let's say, 5.5 feet, and then curve back to the top of the fence. So the weight would be borne on this wrought iron would be great on the wrought iron, and then you could anchor it at the top so it wouldn't waver, but it also wouldn't pull the fence over. So that would be a very attractive thing. Carolina jasmine on a fence will grow 6 or 8 feet tall, so 6 feet is no problem, and it will spread about 4 or 5 feet wide. So if you're going to be going more than 4 or 5 feet, you'll need more than one plant.
Thank you so much. And that's probably the least invasive. And, I mean, I certainly wouldn't complain if someone's Carolina jasmine were on my fence because it's pretty. Okay.
Well, and you know what, Peggy? It's always prettier on the other side of the fence. Really, it is, because you see it hanging down and you see the flowers, and the person who plants it gets to look at the stem stubble way down at the ground line. So you want to have some other things down there to conceal that. But it'll be pretty. It'll work well for you.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call. You betcha. Let's go to Bruce in Ada, Oklahoma. Bruce, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
I've got some slime on my crepe myrtles, kind of black stuff that you can wipe off with your finger.
Okay. And this is on the stems and on the leaves?
It's on the leaves. I don't know if it's on the stems or not. I didn't really check that.
Okay. Well, the leaves have only been there for about 3 months, and so odds are it's on the stems as well. If it's... Do you see any signs of insects on your crepe myrtle?
No.
All right. What you're seeing is a fungus called sooty mold, S-O-O-T-Y, sooty mold. Sooty mold is never a primary invader of crepe myrtles. Sooty mold is always invited by some problem that the crepe myrtle has befallen. It's one of two insects that will cause I'll explain. You either have aphids or you have the crepe myrtle scale that you've heard people talking about in the last 10 years. And so what these two insects will, either one of them is able to do is give off honeydew, sticky honeydew residue that will get on the leaves and the twigs, and then the sooty mold will grow in that. If you had, you'll have the same thing happen with bur oak and chinquapin oak trees. They'll get aphids. So will elms. A lot of our big shade trees will get aphids on them in the summer. And if you have a car parked beneath them, you may get sooty mold growing on the car or on wrought iron furniture or anything else that is beneath them. So it is not a parasitic fungus. And indeed, it is not the source of the problem. It's the insect that allows the honeydew to be there, therefore the sooty mold. So you go after the insect, not the sooty mold. That's my roundabout answer. So what you need to do is find which insect you have and then use the best appropriate insecticide. The scale insects look like white, elongated mealybugs, and they'll be on the stems. And I guess he's gone. I guess he hung up. But they will be on the stems. And then aphids would be on the leaves, and they're pear-shaped, and you can see them very easily. You can see both of these very easily. So the answer's in there somewhere. If anybody is listening and didn't get all of that, it's all available in the pest control portion of crepemyrtletrails.org, C-R-A-P-E, crepemyrtletrails.org. Let's see where we are. Let's go to Diane in Aurora. Diane, where's Aurora?
It's in Wise County by Rome.
Gotcha. How can I help you?
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question. question is about crepe myrtles and wax myrtles. You know, like the suckers or the root things that come up from the ground?
Mm-hmm.
And what can you do to prevent that?
Absolutely nothing other than choose some other plant. Crepe myrtles, I'm going to deal with these two plants independent of one another because they are not in any way related to one another.
Okay.
The crepe myrtles are genetically all shrubs. When they get up in the morning, look in the mirror, they see a shrub. And the fact that we train them as trees doesn't mean that they are trees. They are just being trained that way, and therefore, for a while, they will revert to trying to be shrubs. And if anything happens to the top growth, for example, cold weather injury, they will send up a bunch of new sprouts or suckers. Suckers is the word that we commonly use for them. They will be from the base of the plant right around the trunk. If you ever dig a crepe myrtle and move it somewhere where it was originally, you'll have a donut-shaped ring of suckers that will come up from the roots. They'll be genetically exactly the same as the mother tree was that you moved over there somewhere. So those are suckers on a crepe myrtle. Now, let's say that you have a new crepe myrtle plant. You put it out in your yard. You want to train it to be a tree to give an accent to the patio. And so you start removing all those suckers. Well, for the first 2 or 3 years, it will keep producing more and more suckers. And then eventually it gets the message, and it doesn't try anymore. You may get one or two a year. You may not get any after maybe 3 or 4 years. And so at that point, the work is mainly done. But initially, you have to remove those suckers, and you need to prune them flush with the trunk. If you just cut them off, they'll resprout every time. All right, that's crepe myrtle. Wax myrtle sends up root suckers, and it just sends them up. It makes thickets of plants. I am absolutely not a fan of wax myrtles. The tops begin to die out. You lose a branch here, a branch there, and in 5 or 10 years, you have a really gnarly-looking plant and all these suckers coming up 3 feet away. In that case, I just don't have a lot of patience with wax myrtles. Crepe myrtles, I'll do anything I can to get people to plant crepe myrtles, but wax myrtles need to stay over in Beaumont. They just don't do well for us. And the farther west you go, and Wise County is farther west than I am, I'm Collin County, and so you're two counties away, and I don't like wax myrtles where I am. And I really wouldn't recommend them, you know, to the west, because they just aren't happy.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call and answering my question.
You betcha. I appreciate your call and your patience. Thanks. All right, we're going to take our last break of the day. TJ in Grapevine will be coming up, and he has a Zoysia, or it may be a she. I can't tell from the name TJ. And we probably have time for one more call if you'd like to call. I think it's pretty good odds of that. 800-288-WBAP, 800-288-9227. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. My book is 344 pages long. It is also has 840 photographs. No wonder I spent a lot of time getting my photos cropped and brightened and ready to put into the book. No wonder that took so long. 840. I was amazed when the artist told me that. And we have more than 25 multi-page charts in this book. I was surprised we had that many charts. These are charts that are extremely comprehensive, giving you the best, for example, vines, and if they bloom, what color they bloom, and what months they bloom, and how tall and how wide sun or shade, all that. And the same for trees and shrubs and ground covers and annuals and perennials. These are the big charts that we sell for, big posters that we sell for $10 each. There are four of them. Well, that'd be $40 if you bought the posters, but you can get a whole book that includes the posters for $28.95, regular $32.95. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. Now, we also have Chapter 1, which is the basics on Texas gardening, and I explain in Chapter 1 why I think the USDA hardiness zone map as amended in 2012 is not correct for our area, for our state. Has some very great risks built into it, and I show you the 1990 map and why I think we ought to be using that. all the basics of gardening in Texas, then the 48 pages of when to do things, the monthly chapters, when to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray each month of the year. I used to do that in my calendar, but I don't publish calendars anymore, so the best of the calendar information is in the book, all those posters in the book, and the best of my boot books, Complete Guide to Texas Gardening. This is the book that I always dreamed I would be able to publish, and the way I got it done was by doing it myself. I've self-published it, and that in turn means that you're not going to find it in stores. You're not going to find it on Amazon. You go into a bookstore and see my name on a book. That's the old one, 23 years old. Boy, it was time to get a new book out there, and Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening is exactly that. If you order it, get it, and say, it wasn't what I expected, I'll refund every penny you spent, even the tax, of course the tax, even the postage. And I just don't think that's going to happen. I have a better deal for you. If you would like to get my magazine, which is normally $23.95 per year, it's 29 years old. It's been recognized as being the best regional gardening magazine in America. You can get it for $14 instead of $23.95. $14 when you buy it at the same time that you're buying my new book. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening and Neil Sperry's Gardens Magazine together for only $42.95, a $56.95 value. Call before 11 today. My office will be open a little extra time. 1-800-752-GROW. 800-752-GROW. You can order anytime today at neilsperry.com. NEILSPERRY.com. 1-800-752-4769.
Reduce your need this summer for shock or extensive pool brushing with one simple step. Pitney's Crystal Clear Pool Cam. Hey friends, I know a lot about pools. I got a tip for you this week. Crystal Clear has revolutionized the way people care for their pools with improved water clarity while eliminating the need for phosphates. Crystal Clear is a uniquely formulated product that contains SPF sunblock designed to clear swimming pool water of algae and greatly reduce pool maintenance time. With convenient access now available in select Ace Hardware stores, Arlington and Hurst, or at Dixon Brothers in Mesquite, one-stop pool shop in Plano, or simply online at clearpoolnow.com. That's www.clearpoolnow.com for Pitney's Crystal Clear Pool Chem. And Pitney's Crystal Clear Pool Chem is all about maintenance. I promise you, you're going to thank me later when you get Pitney's Crystal Clear Pool Chem. Go to clearpoolnow.com. That's www.clearpoolnow.com.
This is Mary Traveland with Dixon Brothers. Garden and koi ponds are the focal point of the best landscapes. The water lilies and lotus are blooming and new fish have arrived. So come to Dixon Brothers and get some of the most beautiful aquatic plants for your pond. Water features are so relaxing and enjoyable. Dixon Brothers works with water and has amazing displays of fountains, disappearing water features, ponds, and water gardens to inspire you. Visit the 20,000 square foot showroom and see these displays. Ask the fine people at Dixon Brothers how you can make a water feature at your home. Then you can sit back and enjoy that soothing sound of a waterfall or relax and watch the light sparkle off the water of a decorative urn after a hard day's work. Happiness lives at Dixon Brothers, the Metroplex authority in swimming pool equipment and care, floating fountains, water gardens, and koi ponds. Visit Dixon Brothers at 204 North Galloway in Mesquite or call 972-288-7537. 972-288-7537. That's DICKSON.
Lovely lady, isn't that a beautiful voice? Thank you, Mary. Let me tell you about advanced foundation repair right now, and let me just tell you that we are not going to have 1 and 2 and 3 and 12-inch rains the balance of this summer. I wish we could say that we would, but it just isn't going to happen, and there will be a time very shortly now that our soils will be very dry. We're not being allowed to water as much as we often have in many parts of North Texas, and so this is the time when advanced foundation repair shines. These are the people who can make your house whole once again. These are the people who offer you a free home inspection. It's a very thorough hour to hour and a half inspection of your home, of the foundation. They will do almost a topographic map of your foundation and show you where, if there are problems, where they are and what they are and what they will do to control them, and they'll give you a bid right then and there. It's a no-obligation bid, and again, the home inspection is absolutely free. So if you're seeing that the doors and windows aren't working the way they should, you're beginning to see cracks. You need to contact the best in the business, the people who have done jobs for me at my home and at my magazine office, Advanced Foundation Repair. On the web, they're foundationrepairs.com, plural, foundationrepairs.com. And on the phone, they are 214-333-0003. Their work is guaranteed for the lifetime of the home. They were the first company ever to make that guarantee. 214-333-0003, foundationrepairs.com, Advanced Foundation Repair. All right, I have about a minute per caller for the last three calls. Let's see if we can get them in. TJ in Grapevine, how can I help you?
Hey, Neil.
Hi.
I have Bermuda grass today, and I have some areas that are not so shaded. I know St. Augustine is good, but somebody told me about Zoysia grass, and they mentioned the Geo and the Belair varieties, and I'd like to know your opinion. Don't want to spend my money unless you tell me it's a good idea.
Well, Zoysias probably will be and already are a very valid choice in Texas. The varieties that are recommended by Texas A&M are Palisades and Jammer, J-A-M-U-R. I think it's A-R-U-R, Jammer. Those are the two that are best adapted to North Texas conditions. Palisades actually was developed at A&M. So those are two good varieties, and they're kind of intermediate in texture to Bermuda and St. Augustine, intermediate in shade tolerance. There are a lot of claims made for Zoysias that are excessive about not having to mow very often and so forth. They're a very lovely grass alternative. And many parts of Texas, you'll see a lot of Zoysia being used down in the San Antonio area, a lot of Zoysia.
So it's
valid.
It's valid.
Do
okay.
not mix it with other grasses. It needs to be its own grass.
So, okay. I thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for
Sunday.
The call. You bet. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Let's go to Gail in Burleson. Gail, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. I have about a minute. How can I help?
Okay, we'll go to the first thing first. I have a fig tree, and I've noticed some shavings of wood on the ground, so I think that's carpenter ants. I don't know how to get rid of those on a fig tree.
I have not seen that happen to figs. I would look very closely, make sure you don't have squirrels, make sure that you actually see the ants doing the damage. And if you do, you're going to have to track them back to their nest and deal with them at that point and use one of the insecticides that's labeled for ant control. That's a rather unusual situation. I doubt that it's carpenter ants doing that to figs. I appreciate your call very much. Alex and Justin, I couldn't get you on the air. Bagworms on bald cypress, you're just going to have to hand pick them at this point, spray earlier next year. Robert Borowski, thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Until next week, happy gardening.